host, The Organic Guy. This is your home of organic conversations. And today we have a very interesting topic, and I want us to dive into it. And it's a topic that most critics of the organic movement really have towards it. And it's the question, you guys, you have been around for about a century now, and every time I look at your numbers, they are not that impressive, okay? Your movement has been around since the 1920s, and look, I'm looking at your numbers right now, and they say, actually, in total, you have about 1% of the total organic farmers across the world, and in most countries, actually, less than 1%. So what's going on here, guys? What's going on here, guys? If indeed the organic movement was providing, okay, some of the benefits that it says it does, why aren't more farmers joining the movement, okay? If organic farmers really, really does ensure that the biodiversity is thriving, okay? If organic farmers really does work with nature, if organic farmers really does incorporate ecological processes, if organic farmers really does help the ecology thrive, what's going on here? Why don't we have more organic farmers? And it's a very, very legit question, right? And it's a question that we have to answer as people who are in the organic movement. And of course, numbers don't lie. And when we look at the numbers, this is what it tells us, right? And this is a report that was written by, of course, FIBL, which is a Swiss organization, Swiss research organization that it was released in 2018. And as you can see, we have about 2.8 million organic farmers worldwide. And if you look at that trend from 2009, that's an increase of 55%, okay, compared to where we were in 2009. And if you look at the number of hectares that we have in the organic movement, it's at about 70 million hectares of organic farmland. So we have the oceanic countries having about 36 million hectares, Europe with 15 million hectares, South America, 8 million hectares, Asia, we have the North America, and then we have Africa with about 2 million hectares of our organic farmland. And actually, this is an increase of about 3% from where we were in 2017, right? So when you really look things from the micro perspective, things are actually good, okay? So as you can see, we have increased the organic farmland about 55% from 2009, okay? Our organic farmland has increased 3% from where we were the previous year, that's in 2017. So if you look at things from the micro perspective, things are actually good, okay? We are adding about 200,000 organic farmers per year into the organic movement. But when you look at things from the macro perspective and try to compare things to the overall farming statistics, things are really looking very grim, because there we are actually, we compromise about 1% of the total farmers across the world. So first of all, it also depends on how you look things. The macro perspective, not so good, but the micro perspective, it looks like we are gaining ground each and every single day. And then the question still remains, is the ground gaining enough? Okay, and then we look at the statistics. We are looking from 1999 to 2018. So if you look at the total land that the organic movement gained, in 1999, there were only 11 million hectares of organic farmland, but here in 2018 we are about 70 million hectares of organic farmland. So you can see there's a significant movement of that farmland, okay? This is over a period of 20 years, of course. And if you look at the total organic share in percentage from 1999 to 2018, 1999 we had about 0.2% of the total organic share. But in 2018, we are about 1.5% of the total organic share. So if you look at the micro perspective and within the organic sector, things are actually tipping up, things are growing. But if you look at the macro things, looks like things are sort of stagnant, okay? They're not moving as fast as most people would like this to see it happen. And of course, there are several reasons for that. And it is the fact that we are about 1% of the total farmers across the globe. That doesn't mean the conventional farmers have about 99%. We have different farming systems as well. We have a hydroponics system of growing crops. We have, of course, the permaculture system of growing crops. We have a biodynamic system of growing crops. We have the regenerative system of growing crops. We have conservation agriculture. We have climate smart agriculture. We have vertical farming systems. So we have different systems of farming, and it'll be interesting to see and compare how each one of them actually rack up. And in principle, really, from my own opinion, if you look at all these farming systems, they're actually based on the principles of organic farming. Because if you look actually at the definition of organic farming, this sort of systems are sort of branch out from the organic movement. Because organic farming system is about working with nature. It's about ensuring the health of the soils, the health of the ecosystem, the health of the people. Okay, the organic farming system is about improving its ecology. It's about working with the processes of working with ecological processes. Okay, it's about working with, make sure that we have enough biodiversity around our growing systems. So if you look at all these growing systems, they, in principles, they have one or many practices that are within the organic farming systems. We talk about crop rotation, we talk about cover cropping, we talk about making sure you have enough biodiversity in your farm. So all these farming practices are all co-opted from the organic movement. Most people, of course, just go straightforward into the organic farming system as a farming system that don't use synthetic pesticides and fertilizers, but that's just a tiny portion of what the organic movement is really about. And most of the people who come into the organic sector really do not know some of these principles that the organic movement was founded about. Okay, in the early 20s, we had sort of a contradiction. We had an argument of the two visions that we had for agriculture. One vision just saw the soil as really as a holding medium, you know, as a medium where just we needed crops to hold crops. And it saw the soil as a dead stuff, dead matter, just needed to holding the crops for them to grow. Okay, and all we needed to do is just provide them with the macronutrients and then the crops just grow. Okay, we have those people who had that mentality. And the other side, we had people who saw soil as a living entity. The Albert Howard sort of scientists. They saw soil as a living entity. They saw that the best path forward for the agricultural movement was for us to be able to feed the soil. So once we are able to feed the soil, then it can feed the plants and the animals and then can feed humans. And as such, we can have those three levels of health. So meaning you have healthy soil, you have healthy plants, and you have healthy animals, and you have healthy people. That was the two visions that were fighting this war. And of course, we can see years later, 100 years later, which movement is actually winning. And as you can see nowadays, there's a talk about regenerative organic farming, and that's the emphasis on the soil. And ladies and gentlemen, if you look back at the history, the organic movement is at the center of this particular conversation. You cannot talk about organic without talking about the soil. So, as you can see, there are different systems of farming, but the organic movement is definitely in with that conversation. When we look at those numbers, we're actually looking at certified organic farmers. These are people who have been certified. And we, of course, we have several other organic farmers that are not certified within the certification system. And this sort of doesn't give a full picture of the amount of organic farmers that we have currently. We have a lot of people who believe on the principles of organic farming, but do not have the certification to actually prove that they are organic farmers. But in theory, of course, we have a lot of organic farmers. I will argue up to about 10% in principle. And according to the data, this is what we have. We are about 1% of organic farmers. But what is causing all this? Okay, I got this beautiful, beautiful sort of summary of some of the top three things that the crop tracker really tried to lay out and sort of share with us and to what's happening. So according to them, one of these factors is this cash support. And one thing we have to agree is that farming in itself is actually hard, hard work. Okay, it doesn't depend whether you are an organic farmer or a conventional farmer. Farming, the fact that people are actually involved in farming by itself enough is hard, hard work. It involves a lot of patience, it involves a lot of knowledge, it involves farmers taking a lot of risks for them to be able to produce food. Okay, imagine a farmer just preparing the land and just laying their seeds into the ground and just having faith that within a certain number of days that their seeds will be able to germinate, and after that they will be able to take care of the crops and make sure that there are no weeds and there are no pests. You know, you have to make sure that you provide them with the required nutrients for them to grow. So generally, farming as a vocation, as the things that people do, is actually hard, hard work. But luckily enough, for the conventional farmers, do have a lot of support, especially from the government. We see this, of course, from the European Union perspective, the Common Agricultural Policy, where they sort of give support to farmers to produce food. In the United States, we saw the same problems when they still do have the trade war with China, where most farmers were not in a position to sell their produce, and the government actually could step in and pay farmers to continue producing food. This is something that most of the farmers within the developing nations don't have. This is the luxury that these farmers don't have. And more so when you look at most organic farmers do not have this kind of support. I am not advocating for farmers to receive support from government. I personally think that's a very, very terrible idea, because in the long run, things do not hold up. The best thing is for farmers to come together and be able to support them, okay? We have, of course, this system within the organic farming system of self-guarantee, where farmers just come together and try to guarantee themselves and take care of each other and try to make sure that farmers within that group are actually practicing organic principles and no farmer is cheating. The participatory guarantee system. Those are very, very wonderful systems that are based within the principles of the organic sector and the mission of the organic sector of bringing people together. And one thing is, most organic farmers do not have the support that they need for them to be able to move forward with their farming system. So it makes that by itself, it makes it very, very hard for farmers who want to enter into the organic system, because it's a little bit riskier for a farmer to move into the organic system. So that is basically one of the barriers. And here, Crop Tracker actually suggests more government to be involved in establishing funds for farmers to be able to have access to this particular kind of system, which is not a good thing. I'm not a proponent of government involvement in agriculture, because in the long run, just government spoils everything. So the best way is for farmers to work together and consumers to work together in order to see what's best for them. Might help in the short term, but in the long term, almost all of it failed. And secondly, one of the problems, one of the reasons that I think we, of course, have smaller numbers is, of course, the transition period. This is the period where, let's say, a conventional farmer wants to become an organic farmer, has to go through normally 3 to 5 years. This is the period, you know, the recommended period that the chemicals, the toxic chemicals that you've been using your land should be able to sort of move away, and your land should be able to regenerate and be able to have a better holding capacity and be able to develop good nutrients for able to produce good food, be able to produce good enough crops for your land. So this is one of those periods that do not have an economic incentives for farmers who are coming into the organic industry. Okay, there's definitely no economic incentives as why farmers should go through this period. And it's a period that sets off a lot of farmers. So in this period, farmers have to continue to produce the crops through organic methods, but cannot be able to sell their produce as organic. That is totally, totally understandable. But I think I personally, as a consumer, I will be able in a position to support these farmers to be able to pay the price of organic during this period, not to support them to be able to move into now being fully certified organic and be in a position to be able to sell their products as actually organic. So this is another period that sort of turns down a lot of farmers who want to come into the organic movement. And of course, number three, we have the general production situation. And when I have had the privilege of talking with a lot of farmers generally, and one of the question is, but if I become an organic farmer, how will I be able to, you know, control weeds, for example? Right now I have the luxury of going into the guy who sells me pesticides and the chemicals. You know, I can go there and just buy something and come and spray my pests and my weeds. So when I become an organic farmer, how will I be able to do that? And these are some of the things that most conventional farmers haven't really learned yet. They haven't developed that mentality of becoming an organic farmer. And it is hard, you know, to develop that mentality over the long run. Once, you know, you have already accepted that mentality of fix it. You know, once you have certain problems, you just can go buy a certain chemical and fix your, you know, your crops, and then you're ready to go. So it's a very, very different mentality that you have to accept. And it's a point where, as organic farmers and as organic entrepreneurs, of course, we see a lot of opportunities, because there are a lot of problems in there, to be able to innovate and come up with better and easier techniques for farmers to be able to protect their crops and to ensure that they have maximum production. So it's an area, of course, that tends to turn up most farmers, but it's an area with a lot of opportunities for us to be able to innovate and come up with new ways in which farmers can be able to maximize their crop production in the end. So, and one of the last thing, of course, I see that most farmers also have in common is the question of the market. Yes, if I become an organic farmer, there is, of course, a premium for the products that I produce, but I do not have enough market for this production, especially people from third world countries and developing countries. They don't have the luxury of putting a premium in their products. But thankfully enough, a lot of markets are now coming up with these opportunities for farmers to be able to sell their products as a premium, for them to be able to compensate for the practices that they do incorporate into their farming practice. So in the long term, we see, of course, a lot of improvements and a lot of opportunities. But in the moment, we do see a lot of progress that are actually being made. So why don't we have a lot of organic farmers? It also depends on the scale that you're looking at. If you look at from the micro level, from the organic industry looking outward, there is a lot of things to be optimistic about, because the organic movement is actually growing year by year. And if you look at the organic market itself. And right now we are at 100 billion euros. $100 billion in terms of the total market of the organic industry, projected to be at 600 billion by 2027. So the growth of the organic movement is nothing but going upwards. But if you look at from the macro perspective, from the outside of the organic industry, you will be seeing a lot of things that are not so positive. So the way you look at things also matters, but doesn't give an excuse as why the organic movement is not growing as fast as possible. Right now we of course have challenges of climate change, and if climate change is really, really top of your issue, then looking at the organic movement has to be one of your priorities, of course, moving forward. So I hope this conversation was able to give you a little bit of insight on what's happening really, and how you can be able to move in and contribute towards this conversation, so that we can be able to move the organic movement forward and upward. So, ladies and gentlemen, till the next time, remember to be organic. Cheers.